Daniel 7, and what a dream it is. Let me read to us. We're starting on page 744. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this I looked, and behold, another like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the 1st horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These 4 great beasts are 4 kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the 4th beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up before the 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them, until the Ancient of Days came and his judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, "As for the 4th beast, there shall be a 4th kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. And it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my colour changed. But I kept the matter in my heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a great dream. There are moments, aren't there, as you kind of look out and the world, one way or another, just looks wrong. You know, when things are bad enough, or at least close enough, that a question sometimes surfaces in our heads. It's not always out loud, but it's often there. Is God actually doing anything about any of this? You know, sometimes it's a large scale public things. You pick up your phone in the morning, you go to the BBC News, and you see a war has started. An atrocity unfolds before your eyes. Nations collapse, violence spreads. Sometimes it's up close and personal. You know, a pregnancy ends in grief. Yours or someone you love. A child is seriously ill. You watch injustice land on someone who just doesn't deserve it. And it goes completely unanswered. And you wonder, perhaps in the darkness of night, as you lie there unable to sleep, is God actually in control of any of this? Or do these forces, illness, loss, cruelty, do they just do as they please? But there's a third version, and it's quieter. And for most of us, most of the time, it is the one that we live with. It's not a single blow, but it's a long, slow grinding. You know, the comments at work week after week that imply one way or another that you're foolish or backwards or just a bit embarrassing because you're a Christian, or the same at school for those at school, or the gradual drift, if you like, of public life that isn't just that faith is, and Christian faith is unpopular, but in some way it's finished. It's a relic from a bygone era. These things, they're like a piece of metal. You imagine a piece of metal, it looks strong. But then if you bend it backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, eventually that strong metal snaps. It's worn through. That's what life is often like for many of us. And sometimes underneath all of it is a version of the same question. Are those forces simply more powerful than God? Is God actually Lord of any of this? You know, verse 25 of our reading, if you look down at it, it describes that very thing. One of the beasts, and we'll come back to that, shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Wear out. This isn't a lion's den moment if you've been with us in Daniel. It's not the big dramatic public persecution. This is the day after day after day pressure. And Daniel, as he writes this in Daniel 7, he knows that pressure. He is writing from exile in Babylon. He has watched empires devour one another at close range. And in the midst of that pressure, in verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. A dream that quickly becomes a kind of nightmare. His thoughts, he says, greatly alarmed him and his color changed. And yet at the very end of this chapter, after everything he sees, he says something quite remarkable. I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel doesn't say as he sees this vision, this dream, that the fear went away. He doesn't say that actually when he woke up in the morning, the world somehow looked better. He is still living in exile under Babylon. The beasts are still real, but he has seen something that he cannot unsee. Something that from that point on will carry him through. That's what Daniel 7, I think, is trying to produce in us. It's not going to drive away the pressure or the persecution or the fear, but it gives us something to hold on to in the middle of it. So we're going to take a journey, if you like, through Daniel's dream. We're going to start with the beasts, and then we'll look at the throne up high, and then we'll come back to ourselves. So the beasts, what empires are? And it starts, doesn't it, with the sea. Verse 2, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. What comes to mind when you think of the sea? If it's anything like me, what comes to mind is more like the Mediterranean Sea, if you like. You know, it's calm, it's warm, it's still, you might go paddle boarding, you know, you swim, you snorkel, you look at the fish, it's glorious. But that's not the image of the sea that Daniel is seeing. The sea in the Old Testament is this picture, if you like, of kind of primordial chaos. From the very beginning of Genesis, you know, there is a sea. It is untamable. It's a place of dark disorder. And in creation, God tamed it once. He divided it with the land. It was stilled. But what rises from the sea is often chaos. The things that come from the sea in the Bible, they are rarely good. And I don't know if you noticed, because right at the end of the Bible, it's interesting, because you get to the book of Revelation, and there's an odd line in chapter 21, verse 1, that it says, the sea was no more. When there was a new heavens and a new earth, the sea was no more. Why? Because in the end, the chaos will be undone. But for Daniel, out of the sea come these four grotesque beasts. As you scan your eyes, you read and listen to the descriptions. They are things that defy nature. They are hybrids, combinations of all the wrong things. A winged lion, but with the lions torn off. A lopsided bear with ribs in its mouth. A four-headed leopard. And the fourth beast, almost too terrifying to name. Iron teeth, bronze claws, crushing and devouring. You know, so far removed from the things that God has made that Daniel can't even seem to classify it, can't even really describe what it is like. The fourth beast, he says, was terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. The visions Daniel has as he lies in his bed, they alarm him. It's a nightmare that Daniel is going to have to endure. The chaos of the deep, the unknown, the thing that shouldn't be, the things that shouldn't have power in God's world, but they do. It's power without God. If you go back to Genesis, God creates all things. He creates the sea and he divides it. He gives it its place. He controls it. And towards the end of creation, what does he do? He makes human beings. He makes people in his own image to steward, to have dominion, to rule over the earth on his behalf. But in Daniel's nightmare, that isn't what is happening. These beasts have risen from the deep and they exercise dominion by devouring and destroying rather than stewarding. They're, if you like, they're a parody of what God's kingdom was supposed to look like. This is what happens when you have kings and power without God. If you've been with us or in our series through Daniel over these last few weeks, you might remember back to Daniel 2, where there was another dream. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a statue, a head of gold, a chest and arms of silver, a middle and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. And to one level, each of them looked, you know, magnificent and strong. Nebuchadnezzar's glorious kingdom, the head of gold, another of silver, another kingdom of bronze, a fourth strong as iron. I think in Daniel 7, we are seeing those same kingdoms, if you like, but from a very different vantage point. In Daniel 2, you are looking at them from the king's throne. If you like, from an earthly perspective, from Nebuchadnezzar's perspective, they look glorious and powerful and majestic. But in Daniel 7, we don't look from the king's throne. We look from above. We look from heaven's throne down. And those same kingdoms look monstrous. Because, you know, the power that exalts itself against God, In the end, it will reveal its true character, consuming, dehumanizing, destroying. Even if from an earthly perspective, it looks and shines brilliantly. That's what empires are. Whether nations, organizations, or even, you know, the little empires we build around ourselves, maybe in our home, at work. This is what they will become if they are detached from God. Of all the beasts, though, Daniel is most interested in one, isn't he? The little horn of the fourth beast. Verse 19 says this, I desire to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest. Exceedingly terrifying. And there was a little horn that came up with eyes and a mouth and spoke great things. Notice that amongst the imagery of the beasts and these weird hybrids, the little horn is the one that oddly seems the most human. Eyes like a man's. A mouth speaking great things. The most dangerous power looks and sounds human. Close, if you like, to what good and godly power looks like. And what does it do? It makes war on the saints. It speaks out against God. It seeks to rule. And it seems to win, at least for a time. Sometimes it still does seem, I think, to be winning. But in the middle of the terror of empires and powers that seem to be winning and ruling, into the midst of these ever-worsening kingdoms, God is about to step. Between verses 8 and 9, there is this really weird, isn't this, like abrupt cut. It's like Daniel, you know, has been looking this way down earth and seeing these beasts, and then he turns his head and he looks upwards and he sees a throne in heaven. The little horn, it is boasting, speaking great things. Daniel looks again. What does he see? He sees heaven. Thrones were placed. The Ancient of Days, God himself will take his seat. Clothing white as snow. The hair on his head like pure wool. Fiery flames. 10,000 times 10,000 standing and serving him. Daniel looks, and what are we seeing here? We are seeing a courtroom called to session. We are seeing the books of what has happened and what has been done opened. We are seeing heaven's court ready to judge. In verses 1 to 8, we are looking from earth. The little horn was boasting. The saints were being worn down day by day. The beasts, it seemed, were winning. From verse 9, we look from heaven. We live on earth, if you hadn't noticed. Our perspective, you know, is dominated by that earthly vantage point. Empires, they look powerful, don't they? Corporations look powerful. Political movements look powerful. Evil often looks powerful. What Daniel 7 gives you in the middle of all that is heaven's perspective. Those who stand against God so often appear to get away with it. And not even that, just that, but they also seem to flourish. But Daniel 7 tells us that they don't and they won't. But God is not inattentive. He sees, and the books will be opened. Verse 11, the verdict falls. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest, their dominion was taken away. You know, the horn is still boasting of its greatness. And as it is speaking, God's judgment falls. It means there is an end. I mean, you know that friction, that being bent backwards and forwards, that continuous pressure? It will stop. The bent things and the crooked things will be made straight. There will be a new kingdom, a very different kind of kingdom. Verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. It's a picture of Jesus' ascension. The Son of Man is a title that Jesus takes for himself. And it is a movement upwards. He comes into heaven. He is presented before the Ancient of Days. And God the Father gives him dominion and glory. Notice this. After the four monstrous beasts we've had, the one who in the end receives the true kingdom not only looks human, but is human. God's kingdom, it isn't going to come through beastly power, but through true humanity as it was made to be. The beasts, they inverted God's ordering at creation, seizing dominion for themselves, something that rightly belongs to God's image bearers. And yet, here is one who looks human and is human. And yet, he comes riding through the clouds of heaven. And in the Bible, that is something only God does. Psalm 104 describes God. It says, he makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. This figure, he looks like a man, but he moves like God. He is both. He is the Son of Man who is also the Son of God. And he is the one that will have an everlasting kingdom. And as you follow the Bible's story through, you know, this is exactly what Jesus claimed for himself. Jesus stood in a different courtroom, perhaps in the middle of the greatest crisis in his life, when he stood on trial. And he was asked in that trial directly, "Who are you?" And in Mark 14, Jesus said, "I am," taking another name for God himself. And then he says this, "And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Jesus is saying, "I am the one Daniel was speaking of. I am the enthroned Son of Man of Daniel 7. And as Jesus says those words, the high priest in that moment, he tears his garments because he knows exactly what Jesus is claiming. That he is the figure before whom all courts, all peoples, all beasts must ultimately answer. There was a certain irony in that moment as Jesus stands there, because Jesus is standing in a human court that will shortly condemn him. A beastly court. A court with power detached from God. While at the same time he is declaring that he is Lord of the heavenly court, the true court, the one that in the end matters. And that's where Jesus is seated now. Because what Daniel sees is not merely a future hope. You know, for us, it is the reality now. Jesus has already ascended through the clouds and sat down at the right hand of the Father. He reigns. He has been given dominion and glory and a kingdom, an everlasting one. It might not always look like it from an earthly perspective, but it is what is true if we look from a heavenly perspective. So us, the saints, look at what happened.